Okay, good evening, everyone, and thank you. Welcome to all of you. Thank you for joining us. And I hope that your preparations for this Pesach are moving along. Let us just talk this evening very briefly about something which I consider to be a major theme of the Seder, but one which is very relevant and important for the entire year. Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. We all know that this year there will be plenty of aspects of our Pesach that will be dramatically different from the usual Pesach experience that we are all used to. But one thing that we know will certainly be the same, one thing that is the constant and that will always remain, is the fact that questions will be asked. Jews have always had questions. It is such an important part of who we are. It's such an important part of what we represent. And Rav Hirsch writes so beautifully in his says Rav Hirsch, in Nirtza Ladas, if we would want to know how to just clarify in one statement, Ma Mosar Ha'adam Min Habehema, what is the advantage, what is the level of superiority that a human being has over the animal kingdom? Says Rav Hirsch, there are many answers you can give, but he says, we certainly wouldn't make a mistake if we would say, Im Nomar Ha'adam Shoel, if we would focus on the fact that man, in his very essence, in his very nature, is the kind of creature, is the kind of person, is the kind of being that inquires, that is curious, that challenges, that analyzes, that examines, that probes. We have a sense of curiosity. And that, says Rav Hirsch, is really the way that we can, in one sentence, in one phrase, we can really highlight the advantage that man has over the animal kingdom. And he says, when we come to the Seder night, and our children are going to be persistent, and they will constantly continue to ask us, and says, and our children turn to us and ask, Ma Zos, what is this? Explain this to us. He says, this is just a child being healthy. This is a child who is thriving. That is the way children are supposed to be. That is the way all human beings are supposed to be. And he says, unfortunately, there are men who provide and nourish our families. And yet he says, why is it that we find often that we don't have an equal investment of time or energy or effort to answer the questions of our children and to satiate the desire for them to have an understanding of the world that they live in? Says Rav Hirsch, is that any less important than giving the physical sustenance that every human being needs? This is so much a part of human life. This is so much a part of human understanding that we have a curiosity and that our curiosity needs to be filled. Writes Rav Hirsch, there are many who believe, and I think these words are even more critical today than they may have been a month ago, but he says, Al yale al datenu, dare we say as adults, she'od chazon lamoed bebeit ha-sefer, that there will come a time when the teachers, when the rabbeim, when the moras, when the schools will take over, and they, because if we go into schools, we will be able to see immediately who are the children whose parents have given them time, who engage with their children, who are the parents that make sure that they interact with them and really have a lively discussion, conversation with them, and who are the children whose parents are too busy and say, I don't have time to fill your curiosity. I don't have time to talk to you. I don't have time to engage with you. And therefore, he writes Rav Hirsch, this is a very important idea that we must think about on Leil HaSeder, but it's a time for us to think about not only Leil HaSeder, but to think about this throughout the experience of the year, throughout every interaction that we have with our children, with our grandchildren, or with any child who has an inquisitive mind, as healthy children are supposed to have. And writes Rav Hirsch, unfortunately, sometimes those children who don't get the answers that they are looking for become so callous, become so apathetic, and become so indifferent to everything that life and all of our religion is about. There are so many identifying characteristics about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the paradigmatic leader. He was the hero of the entire Pesach story. He has so many different roles that he plays in the many different stories that happen that make up the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And yet, listen to an amazing medrash. When Moshe Rabbeinu is told what his focus is meant to be as the leader of the Jewish people. So the medrash writes an amazing comment. Moshe barach min hasurur. The unique characteristic of Moshe Rabbeinu was that which the Torah identifies in his character was the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was an anav mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adama. Moshe Rabbeinu was so filled with humility. Not that he didn't have an understanding of who he was, but he was such a humble person. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was first singled out to be the leader of the Jewish people, when anyone else who was singled out to do such a job would be so elated, would be so excited, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I do not want this position of leadership. This is not what I look for in my life. I'm not looking for glory. I'm not looking for honor. I just want to be with everyone else. Moshe Barach Min HaSarar. B'Shah Sh'amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Yata Lecha V'Eshlachacha El Paro. When God turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, no, I've singled you out and I want you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the one to speak and negotiate on behalf of the Jewish people with Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu comes up with every excuse and he says, no, shlach nabiyat, tishlach, please, find somebody else. This is not for me. Lo ish devar manochi. I really don't speak clearly. I'm not a charismatic kind of personality. This is really not for me. And he tries to do everything. And in the end, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to him, Chayecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, I understand. Your humility is something that is very special. However, Sof Chalelech, there's no reason for us to continue to argue because in the end, you are destined to be the one who will lead the Jewish people. So let us just stop the argument now. So Moshe Rabbeinu finally gives in after 7 days. And after that time, he goes to Paro. He starts negotiating with him. And he says, Ko amar Hashem Elokei ha'ivrim, shlach ami, I want you to let my people out. And Rasha, Paro responds to him, Mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo. And he starts negotiating with Moshe Rabbeinu. Finally, when he walks out and he finishes his first task, he says, God, asisi shlichusi, I did exactly as I was instructed. And now, halach v'yashav lo, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you asked me to do a job. I did it with good faith. I did it exactly how I was instructed to do it. And now I am retiring. To which God responds, Yashavtalach, you think you're finished? Bo daber al paro, I have so many jobs for you to do. And God piles on one task after another and one opportunity after the other until in the end, libasof. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu is going to apply for a job and he has to put together what it is that he has accomplished in his life. Libasof, listen to all the things Moshe Rabbeinu can say about himself. Kara lehem asayam, hotziyami mitzrayim, he takes them out of Egypt. They were slaves for hundreds of years. He then goes to fresh water to drink. He gives lehem as haslev when the Jewish people want to have meat to eat. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu is able to provide it for them. He kifan anani akavu, Moshe Rabbeinu makes sure that they are safe and that there's a cloud that envelops the Jewish people. And finally, ba'asa lehem as hamishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu then builds the ultimate place where God himself resides. And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I think I've done enough. Amad v'yashalo, it's time for me to retire. I have done my duty. I never wanted to be in this position in the first place. I did it all for you, God. But now that I'm done, allow me to just take a step back. And the Ribono Shel Olam says, no, chayecha. I promise you, Moshe. Yesh lecha melacha gedola mizu, I have a job for you now, which is greater mikol masha asisa, which is greater than anything that you have done. And you ask yourself, what can Moshe Rabbeinu possibly be given now that is more important than everything else that he has done? Moshe Rabbeinu to this point is the one who is responsible for every precious moment of the Jewish people's lives, for every single great blessing that they had. What is it that God wants him to do now? How is it that he can give him a job that is malacha gedola, that is more important and more existential to the ongoing commitment of what the Jewish people are all about? And what is that job, says the Medrash, lelamed the bini tuma v'tahara. As great as Moshe Rabbeinu was, his highest accomplishment was to make sure that he taught the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu goes down in all of history as Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, because that is the greatest praise of Moshe, and that is the greatest job he was given. Education has always been one of the most important themes in all of Judaism. This is what we stand for. This is what we always do. This is how Moshe Rabbeinu chooses to go down in history. Think back a couple of weeks to the Purim story. And I know it feels like it was a couple of years ago, but Purim was only a month ago. Masmich Geula LeGeula, we know that we have Purim and Pesach right next to one another to remind us of the themes of Geula and how central, how important that is for us to think about what Geula means for all of us. But in the midst of that story of Purim, the Megillah tells us a very unusual pasuk, Vayisaper Haman LeZerach Ishto, Haman comes home and he tells his wife Zeresh, ulechol ha'avav, and to all of his friends. Vayomer lo chachama v'zeresh ishto. After telling them the plan, after telling them the story, they respond and they say, im mizera ha'yehudim Mordechai, if Mordechai is from the Jewish people, asher hachilos olimpo lefanav, lo tuchalo, you will not be able to get him, kinafol tipo lefanav. If Mordechai is from the Jewish religion, you will not be successful. On a very simple level, this means that the Jewish people have a very special gift that God always looks after them. And as much as times sometimes look negative, and as much as circumstances for them look quite bleak, and look like there is no positive that can ever result, God assures them that everything, in the end, will be okay. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo. And it seems that that's what Zeresh, the wife of Haman, was telling him. But Rav Meir Shapiro, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin, along with the one who also is better known for being the founder of Daf Yomi, which has brought the Jewish people so much light since it started, Rav Meir Shapiro said an amazing comment. Perhaps what Zeresh meant was, im mizera ha'yehudim, if Mordechai is still focused, if Mordechai is still able to teach those zera ha'yehudim, those children, like the Medrash tells us, Mordechai was spending his time teaching, educating, that's what he always did. And Zeresh said, that is the secret to Jewish survival. Im mizera ha'yehudim Mordechai, if Mordechai is still investing in the next generation and making sure that they are going to be effective leaders on their own right because they will be educated, then lo tuchal lo, you will never be able to overcome them. That is the secret to Jewish survival. That is what the Jewish people have always stood for, in good times as well as in bad times. Listen to an absolutely amazing letter. This letter was given to me by a dear friend, Rabbi Eli Reisman, who lives in California. His father should have a refuah shlema besoch shar chole Yisrael. Who all need a refuah, all need a Yeshua. And Eli sent me this amazing letter about 2 years ago. It was found in the Tel Aviv archives. And this was an archive that has many of the artifacts from the time in 1945, right after the liberation of many Jews from the Holocaust. Eli's grandfather's name is signed on this letter. It's in his grandfather's handwriting. And he gave me a copy of the original. And he writes, this was written in Chenstachov, Beis Shvat Tafshin Vav, which is 1945. The date is on the letter. And this was a letter written from the Jews in Chenstachov, who sent the letter back to their friends who lived in Eretz Yisrael in Tel Aviv, and asked them to figure out how they would be able to be successful in getting the Jews who were stuck in Chenstachov the proper permits that were necessary to come to Eretz Yisrael and to migrate to Yerushalayim. So he says the following letter. Biyom Gimel Shvat Shnats Tav Shin He. Baruch Hu Harotzchem HaGermanim Me'irenu. Alafim Yehudim Shehoyu B'machanot HaHezger Yatzu Az L'Shichrur. They had a choice that they needed to make. Hamatzav haya tragi mi'o. This was a tragic situation. It was terrible. Nobody knew if any family members were still alive. Every single family had yisomim in it. And he says, we all asked each other, me'ayin yavo ezreinu, where will we ever be able to find solace, to find comfort? And he said, we had the opportunity to all gather together in the city of Chenstachov. And we didn't have a kosher kitchen. We didn't have tashmishe kedusha. We had no talis, no tefillin, no svarim, no siddur. Hakol nisrufu al yedei hagermanim. Everything was burnt. Everything was ravaged by our enemy, by the Germans. Ube'eze ofen yisadar sachayim adatim. How can we rebuild a Jewish life? What is it that we would do? And then he said there were Jews who were moser nefesh. And they put together a committee. And they decided to negotiate with the local municipality. And they were able to procure a space, which was a multi-purpose room. And he writes that we used that room, avur histadrutenu. That was used in order for our committee to be able to go about all of their affairs that were mikva imam batya. After a tremendous challenge we overcame, we were able to then set up a kosher mikva with a bath there as well. We then created one of the rooms in the same building to be a mitbach kasher, to be a kosher soup kitchen that all of us would be able to share meals together. And then listen to this. Unbelievable. Vigam, cheder dati avur hayeladim. We set up a school. We set up an educational institution for our children. Sheledavonenu, hagurmanim hametu avim, hichrisis yaldenu kimad debeli hishir sarid. We don't even have any children to send to this school. We have nobody to enlist in this school. But how can we dream of having a rebuilt Jewish community without having a school, without having an educational system? And this I found to be an unbelievably powerful letter. Here the Jews are trying to get their lives back together. They have nothing. Every family are Yisomim. They have nothing left. They have nothing to look forward to. They're trying to rebuild. And they knew, we may not have any children here right now, but without an educational institution, we are nowhere. There is no such thing as a Jewish community. As Rav Meir Shapiro said, in Mizera HaYehudim, if Mordechai is still going to be investing in the Jewish children, then you know it is impossible to ever defeat the Jewish people, because they are undefeatable when they focus on education. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau writes an amazing story in his book, in his autobiography, where he says about Rebbe Tzitzila Sarutzkin, and it was some kind of relative of his, and he says that she told him, in all the 6 years of the war, I cried only once. I was in the most horrible of the camps. I lost my entire family. I was left all alone in the world, broken in my body and spirit, and I did not cry. I returned to our hometown and I found not a living soul. I still did not cry. When they told me, go to Lodz, that's where the refugees are gathering. Maybe you'll find a relative or an acquaintance. And so I did. I went to Lodz, totally exhausted. They showed me the area where the Jews were assembling. With my last remaining bit of strength, I walked through the streets in the twilight. Suddenly, I recognized sounds coming from one of the windows. As if in a trance, as if someone were calling me from inside, I opened the gate. I entered the courtyard of an ancient building. And then I opened the door. In the darkness, I made out a row of boys with side locks sitting along both sides of a long table. At its head sat an elderly Jew wearing a baseball cap. The children were chanting the Aleph Beis to a tune. I don't remember anything else. Then I found myself on the floor of the room with people standing over me and pouring water over my face. The teacher tried to revive me and asked in a worried voice, what happened? Can I help you? Sit up. Maybe you'd like something to eat. Who are you? Where did you come from? Slowly I recovered and I replied, this is the first time I have cried in the past 6 years. But I am not crying from pain, I am crying from joy. I wandered far and wide until I reached Lodz, and I finally saw Poland as it once was. And if after all we have been through, I said to the teacher, little boys in sidelocks are sitting here and an elderly teacher is teaching them the Aleph Beis once again, that I know that no one can defeat us. Let me catch my breath. I feel fine. These are tears of joy, not of pain. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, God has promised us that the future of the Jewish people will never be lost. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo. Ki heim chayenu v'orech yameinu v'hem nehege yomam v'layla. Education is at the forefront of all that our religion stands for. And in Parshas Bo, as we know, when the Torah describes in great detail the second half of the Makos and all the miracles that were performed as the Jewish people were going out of Egypt, one very important aspect to the story that we're told is Leman tisaper ba'aznei bincha uben bincha. The importance, the focus on education. We have a responsibility as Jews to educate our children, to make sure that they internalize the lessons that God tries to teach all of us, that they understand the messages, that they know what the implications are of our national story. And it is our job as educators, as adults, as parents, as grandparents, as aunts, as uncles, as nephews, as cousins, as everyone who's involved with younger children, to be able to communicate those messages to all future generations. But listen to a remarkable insight of the Sar Shalom of Bells, where he says, what is education all about? And he says, if you want to know how one, as an adult, can successfully transmit all of their values How can I ensure that the best result of Leman Tisaper Ba'aznei Bincha Uven Bincha? How do I know that I'm going to be successful in that mission? How do I know that my children will live on with the values that I want to inculcate into them? Then he says, you have to look at the end of the pasuk, and that is, V'idatem Ki Ani Hashem. The only way to effectively communicate a message to our children, or for that matter, to anybody, is if we live it. If we live by example. V'idatem ki ani Hashem. Are we aware as adults that God has full sovereignty, has full ownership, has full control of our lives? The only way Leman Tisaper Ba'aznei Bincha can ever have a chance of being successful is if we collectively make an effort to make sure that V'idatem ki ani Hashem. We need to make sure that it is so ingrained in all of us that God has full sovereignty over our lives. And if there's any time in our lives that we need to believe that, it's today, when the whole world is thrown into a pandemonium, when the whole world is so upside down, when we know that there's no one who can predict the future, when there's no one who can give us the answers that we're looking for. When is the curve going to be flattened? And when are the hospitals going to clear up? And when are people going to start building up antibodies? And when will a vaccine be finally discovered? And these are all questions that we wish we knew the answers to. But it's a time for us to remind ourselves, V'idatem ki ani Hashem. Don't ever forget, as smart, as wise, and as brilliant as a generation that we may all be living in, and as much as we have furthered the technological advancements in ways that are so unprecedented, that are so unimaginable, we remind ourselves, V'idatem ki ani Hashem, as smart and as advanced as we think we are, there is a God. And perhaps this is the most powerful Pesach, because maybe when we all know V'idatem ki ani Hashem as well as we know it this year, perhaps we will have the best chance at really giving over that lesson of Leman Tisaper Ba'aznei Bincha Uben Bincha. Each and every day in our Kriya Shema we say, V'shinantam Levanecha V'dibarta Bam. And some of Farshim say, the best way to be V'shinantam Levanecha, the best way to teach our children is V'dibarta Bam, that we as individuals, we as adults need to speak those words, need to understand those words. Our children need to hear us saying it, they need to see how we feel, they need to feel everything that is inside of us. It is not that we need to make sure that children are medaber bam, but it is rather vidibar tabam. We as adults need to speak this language, and we need to model for our children by example, which is why the Al-Sheikh writes that in Kriya Shema, we first say, V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi metzavecha ayom al livavecha. We need to first make sure that all of these messages are ingrained firmly in our hearts, and only then can we talk about v'shinantam livanecha Vidibar Tabam. There's a fascinating insight when you look in the Parsha of the Bensor Morer. The Psukim say in Parshas Kisei, it's such an unusual story, and it's such a tragic story. The painful reality of the Bensor Morer. And when we're introduced to this child, we are told, Kihiel Ish Ben Sorer Morer, if a couple will have a child who is a wayward son. Einenu Shomea Bekol Avivu Bekol Imo. One can't ignore the obvious repetition here. If he's in fact a rebellious son, obviously he's not listening to the words, to the direction of his father and mother. And we know that every word in the Torah is measured. Why does the Torah say here that he is a ben sorer umorer, and he is a nenu shamea bekol aviv bekol imo? Of course he doesn't listen to his parents. If he listened to his parents, he wouldn't be a ben sorer umorer. And the Kutzker so beautifully suggests that if you really want to know accurately, why is it that this child has gone astray? Why is this child so lost? Why is this child so corrupt in the lifestyle that he has chosen for himself? It is simply because when he came home from yeshiva, when he came home from Beis Yaakov, when he came home from school every single day, einenu shomea b'kol aviv u'b'kol imo, he didn't hear the sweet voice of his own parents practicing the life that they want him to lead. He didn't hear the melodious voice of his father or mother reciting Tehillim at night, davening, when they send the child to yeshiva, when they send the child to school, and they have all kinds of values that they want the schools to give over to their children. The problem here is that the child did not hear that in his own home. And that is the greatest challenge. If a parent, if an adult does not model behavior for their children, how can they expect that the child will ever properly learn the lessons of what life is all about? And that writes the Sar Shalom of Bells, when we think about our obligation, when our children stand up and they say, Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos, when all future generations think about how different this night is than all other nights, when they consider all the great miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, and we want to really have a meaningful experience of Leman Tesaper Ba'azne Bincha Uben Mincha, the greatest way that we can do that is to make sure that we all have clarity in one reality, and that is V'idatem Ki Ani Hashem. When we speak about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim this Pesach, let's use this as an opportunity. Let us work toward our mission as adults. Let us strengthen our commitment so that our children, our students, all those who look up to us will learn primarily from our example and not so much from the words that we say. I wish all of you a Chag Kasher v'Sameach.